Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a combined project of KCBX and our team of program hosts. Today on Central Coast Voices, host Fred Monroe and his guests will commemorate Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and part of this discussion will focus on an unusual partnership between two unlikely partners. Lumina Alliance, the Central Coast's key resource for victims of domestic violence, and Meathead Movers, creators of a very valuable resource program assisting these domestic violence victims and giving them an opportunity to move to safety without monetary cost. We invite you to listen, learn, and participate in our conversation, and we're live today, so we can take your phone calls at 805-781-3875. With that, let's join Fred Monroe and his guests. Over to you, Fred.
Thank you, Brad. Glad to be with you today. Good afternoon, and welcome to Central Coast Voices. I'm your host, Fred Monroe. Our goal is to bring you credible and valid information and insights from diverse members of the community. Central Coast Voices addresses how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community, and that is a key factor. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. I apologize for some of our listeners who are probably going to send me a note saying we waited until almost the very last day of the month to commemorate it here. But it was when we had an opportunity to get a program. The fifth Thursday doesn't happen very often, and we had enough space to make sure this could get addressed today. I'm joined today by Jennifer Adams, who's the CEO of Lumina Alliance. She'll share with us how domestic violence affects far more than just the victim in the community, and what her organization is doing every day to serve victims and help keep them safe from further violence and provide resources to get them a home away from the perpetrator of the abuse. For some reason, the word perpetrator does not run smoothly off my tongue. This is an interesting conversation because it involves somebody else. We also have Aaron Steed, who's the CEO and founder of Meathead Movers. Most of our listeners probably, if they live in the Central Coast, are familiar with Meathead Movers because we see their trucks everywhere. They are a moving company. And we're going to talk today about how their program happened to get tied into dealing with domestic violence and dealing with the Lumina Alliance. It's a question. Please stick with us because I want to start out by getting some background from Jenny on the Lumina Alliance and what it does on a daily basis. And we'll talk a little bit more with Aaron as the program goes on, because not only are we going to talk about what he does with Lumina Alliance that is very beneficial to victims of domestic violence, but also some things he's doing to get other businesses involved, because I'm sure that people who may have just heard Brad's introduction or read the introduction information online at kcbx.org, that wondering what in the world a moving and storage company has to do with a relationship with a domestic violence organization. So that becomes a topic that we will answer. We will answer it as thoroughly as possible. And if we're not answering it thoroughly enough for you, I can remind you that the call-in phone number is 805-781-3875. If based upon this topic or based upon your just preference, you want to call in and you have some questions or some observations you want to share, Brad can answer your call and we can take it off the air and he can relay some information to us to pass along. And or if you are interested in sharing information or questions with my guests after the program airs, you can get to voices@kcbx.org. That's our email address, voices@kcbx.org. And we can pass that on to either Jenny or Aaron or both about questions you may have about the program. Jennifer, Lumina Alliance has a wonderful name. It's a nice name, but it also has what I would classify as one of the dilemmas of all time, which is, what does it mean?
Great question. I always try to explain that putting what we do in the name of our organization is next to impossible. So we serve victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. And these are crimes that are usually kept in the dark. There's a lot of shame for victims who experience these types of crimes, and so they oftentimes don't come forward. And so the word lumina means light, and so we're shining a light on that which is kept in the dark, while also providing a guiding light to those who are on their healing journey out of it. And an alliance speaks to the fact that we can't do this work alone. It requires the community and partnerships to address these issues.
So by name, it is a reasonably new organization. But by task, it's sort of been around in other incarnations, if you will. So we probably need to define those for folks also.
Yes. So we've actually been our crisis line next year will have been up and running for over 50 years. So that's pretty impressive. But we originally started off as three separate organizations, and previous names were the Rape Crisis Center, the North County Women's Shelter, the Women's Shelter of San Luis Obispo. There was a merger that took place in 2013 that created RISE, and then the most recent merger that happened in 2021 created Lumina Alliance. So the long and short of it is we took three organizations, we made one out of it, we served the entire county. That way our services are consolidated and centralized, and no one has to guess where they need to go to get help.
How does someone who is either in a situation of needing your services or is, I can't think of a better word to explain it, frightened that maybe they are on the verge of needing your services, but that first effort becomes tough?
It's the most difficult, and it's one of the reasons it's so important to talk about this, and we appreciate having the platform. Because the first person that somebody tells that something like this has happened to them, or that they're living in a situation where these things are happening, that first person's reaction will determine whether that victim goes on to seek further help. So it's so important for us as community members to be aware and to, you know, listen. If someone tells you they're a victim of domestic violence or sexual assault, or they were hurt as a child, we can say, "I'm so sorry that happened to you. I believe you, and there's help available," and reach out to Lumina Alliance.
One of the things that we send out to all of our guests is kind of a questionnaire about programs, the information that will help us understand how to have this conversation. One of the things on that questionnaire is what kind of questions do you get from the public or from people other than the people you're serving right now? And the key one that popped up in a couple of different incarnations in your notes was, why do victims stay in abusive relationships? And I suspect that has become an answer that even, no matter how many thousands of times you explain it, is not going to go away, because indeed, for those of us outside the sphere of what you're dealing with, it would say, oh, gee, it should become very easy and very quick to understand that the person I'm starting a relationship with is not going to be healthy for me. I'm gone. But people may go on for years in dealing with levels of increasing abuse and feel like, A, they don't know how to get out, and B, they don't even know they were in there in the first place.
Right. And I appreciate the question, the idea that a victim would recognize they're in a relationship that's not healthy, because one of the things we talk about at Lumina Alliance is we're not just helping, you know, one individual victim. We are interrupting oftentimes what are generations of violence in families. And so oftentimes people they have no idea that the relationship that they're in is not healthy. They have no idea that somebody who's controlling and extremely jealous, that's not healthy. And so that's a challenge. It's complicated. The reasons are complicated. But you know, the simplest way I can explain it is that people, they care. They love the person oftentimes that's harming them. And it's not an easy decision to end a relationship. Most of us have been through that, and it's never easy. And for people who have built lives together, maybe share children, maybe share a home or a business, they share communities, oftentimes faith communities. Immigration status can play a role. There's just a multitude of factors that play into why a person stays. And then just the last thing that I always like to point out on this is when we ask that question, we're putting the onus and the responsibility on the victim. And, you know, it's challenging the financial challenges of living in our county, let alone living as a single person, let alone as a single person that is parenting children, can make it near impossible to break away from a relationship. But we really need to shift our focus to those that are causing harm. And we need to ask, why are they doing that? And how do we put a stop to that?
This, one of the things you said was that brought to mind for me the fact that some people get trapped in a relationship because they don't know physically how to get out of the situation, which I think ties us into including Aaron Steed from Meathead Movers in the conversation a little bit. We can talk about the program that you're involved with, Aaron, with Lumen Alliance, but I guess the first question is for people – is this indeed a way for me to get out of a situation that I may be a victim that doesn't own a car or has a car in the name of my partner or has other circumstances that would create a situation where even to get out, you know, the clothes I have hanging in the closet becomes a difficult thing if I'm looking for a way out. I suspect this is kind of how you folks became involved in this to some extent.
What in the late 90s, I would periodically get phone calls, mostly from women who are fleeing their abuser, and I'd be the one talking to them on the phone, and I could hear the panic and trembling in their voice, and they would explain, my husband or boyfriend is on a business trip, this is my opportunity, I don't have any money, but I'll give you a TV or a couch if you're willing to help me out. And it just felt and seemed like the right thing to do. So that's how it started more than probably about 25, 26, 27 years ago or so. And it just kind of slowly grew from there.
My first reaction as you're telling me that is that becomes a scary role for you to be put in, because you're being told by the person who wants to have some assistance in the moving that they need to move in a silent, quiet, or unnoticed environment, because otherwise they cannot get out safely.
Yeah.
And that may indeed create a situation also, because your crew, your employees, become at risk too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, having... You know, back then when I was doing the moves and I would go out on these types of moves, I really wasn't that concerned about being confronted. You know, I just wasn't in my, like, purview. But after doing these moves for a couple years, I'll never forget one time in Morro Bay, the guy came home and started yelling, you know, right nose to nose in my face and saying that, we're stealing his things. He's going to call the cops. A toaster oven was thrown. Luckily, nobody got hurt, but it dawned on me right then and there that, one, you know, domestic violence is all over this community, even though it's beautiful San Luis Obispo, and that, two, we need to continue to do this, but do it in a safe way. So that's when I knocked on the door at the San Francisco Women's Shelter at the time and talked to Beth and then later Marianne. And we developed a program where basically we would trust the San Luis Obispo Women's Shelter, which is now Lumina, to go ahead and vet these situations. If a survivor of domestic violence called us, we would encourage them to contact the shelter or Lumina. I'll just refer to it as Lumina going forward.
It's the concept of the shelter is stuck in our minds over a number of years, of course.
But referred to as Lumina, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So to contact Lumina, and Lumina will bring you through their process, and we will help. We'll provide the free moving, but we're going to really just be a vendor for Lumina. And they've been so great throughout the years of making sure every situation we do is one legitimate, and two, that there are safety protocols based upon the uniqueness of each situation of every one of the survivors that they're helping.
Yeah. I want to pursue that topic a little further, but I want to remind listeners also that this is a call-in program. If you have questions or observations you'd like to share with us, if you have used the services or are an alumni, for lack of a better way of putting it, of the services of Lumina and or Meathead Movers in this regard, you can share your observations and your experiences. The phone number is 805-781-3875. That's 781-3875. I encourage you to call reasonably early in the program. Oftentimes we hear from callers at late in the program saying, gee, well, I wanted to get in with this call, but you guys are running out of time. So we'd like to be able to share your observations and your experience and or your questions with us. Again, 781-3875. Aaron, how do you sort out I don't want you to give away trade secrets, but how do you sort out the concept of whether or not you can do a move or an assisted move, however you classify it, for a victim and create an environment where either A, the victim has a way to get out of there if they need to be out of there, and or can you do some moving and services where a victim says, my partner is going to come home at any time, but I still need you to do this on a regular workday, but I can't be here.
So we work for Lumina. Lumina is the point of contact. Lumina is in charge. Lumina is in control. Lumina is quarterbacking this entire process and offers so many more services than just moving. They are offering counseling, shelter, counseling, legal advice, and a whole bunch of things that I don't even know that I'm sure Jennifer can go on and on about. And one of the things Lumina does is they help with the relocation through Meathead Movers. And we are so proud to be a very, very small part of all the great things Lumina does in the community.
Aaron brings up an interesting twist to that then, because I guess there are circumstances under which you could be on site on behalf of the victim as part of the move when the victim could not be there without creating a very at-risk situation.
So, yeah, this we have, you know, two office locations in the county, and we have two emergency shelters, and we have three complexes with transitional housing. So we have lots of locations, and we have a long history of dealing with people who threaten violence and commit acts of violence, right? And so our advocates are trained in how to navigate these situations, and we have guidelines and agreements in place to keep everyone safe, right? We don't want our advocates to be at risk. We don't want Meathead Movers to be at risk. And, you know, so we have, like I said, very strict guidelines on how to set this up. And, you know, that what Aaron was speaking to is, you know, what we tend to think of most, which is helping people get out of a situation. But they also help us move people out of our shelters or out of our transitional housing units into permanent housing, which is, you know, less risky, but just as important and super helpful. So we've, as Aaron said, they've been doing it for 25 plus years. And so we've had lots of practice and have adjusted things over the years mm-hmm. to make sure that everybody stays as safe as possible.
Yeah.
We'll get into it with a little more detail a little later in the program, but there are other things that we want to talk to Aaron about how other businesses and other organizations can get involved in this. And we'll get to that. And it's Pledge to Protect, I believe, is the name of the program.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that in a little bit. I want to stick on topic for the moment about the some of the logistics that get involved, because my hunch is that we're dealing with individuals who probably do not look at the community as providing them with anything that's free or anything that doesn't come with any strings attached. So for either of you, is there this first call from somebody saying, gee, I've never asked for help that I wasn't paying for, and I don't know how to tell you that I need help because I can't pay for it?
For sure, for victims calling Lumina Alliance. And we try to be really clear and upfront in our communications that our services are confidential, first of all. So we're not calling anybody and telling anybody anything that a victim doesn't give us permission to do, and that our services are at no cost to the survivor, which is why we're, you know, a nonprofit and we're out there raising funds and applying for grants so that we have the resources to provide these services, and why a partnership with Meathead Movers is essential to us being able to do this work. So we are super grateful to be able to walk victims through all the different ways that we can support them and be able to highlight that Meathead Movers provides this to us at no charge.
Aaron, do you have circumstances where people need to get out of the situation now but have really no place to go with their belongings? You know, maybe someone who says, My sister, who's 10 miles from here, has got a room for me to share for a while, but she's got no room for any of my stuff. Can you hold on to my stuff?
Mm-hmm. Sure. We've moved clients' items into people's garages before, storage units. And again, Lumina has been wonderful to work with as far as doing all of those coordination of all of those details for each unique client situation. And no move is the same. And it's our job. You know, we treat these survivors of domestic violence just like a paying client. So wherever they need to go and in whatever manner, we're going to take care of their items and try to create a positive experience during a hard time.
And I just want to say, you know, the name Meathead Movers can conjure up a vision, right, in our minds. And I have to say that I have been present for several different moves and opportunities to be around these young people that are moving our furniture or moving a victim's furniture. And they are the most kind is the first mm-hmm. word. I mean, they're such hard workers, but they are so kind and so considerate, and just every time I have the opportunity to work with them, it's super inspiring, mm-hmm. and it's a reflection of the culture that Aaron has created at Meathead Movers, because that kind of behavior doesn't just come from, you know, telling them to go out and load up a truck. So
thank you.
Super impressive.
That's very nice.
Yes.
Thank you.
When I introduced Aaron, I mentioned he's the CEO of the company. He happens to be the founder or one of the founders. I'm not sure if he had other founders. So you picked the name.
Mm-hmm.
So people who make fun of it or mm-hmm. think it doesn't quite fit for a professional mm-hmm. organization.
Yeah.
You did it by choice.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, just kind of a joke, to be honest, at first. And then it caught fire, and now we have 7 locations. So, you know, a lot of smarter people than me said, oh, you really need to change the name if you're going to other markets. And And I was just like, but I really like the name. And you know, it works. And hopefully we're changing the connotation of Meathead to a more positive.
You are, Aaron. You are. Because this partnership wouldn't work if it was like if that, you know, vision that you have of a Meathead mover were true. Because, you know, I think the other thing we haven't really, I mean, you spoke to it a little bit, but the victims, when they're in doing these moves, when this is happening, they're in crisis.
Yes.
And they're, you know, when you're been traumatized and you're in crisis, you're not thinking straight, you're flustered. And so a lot of patience has to go into dealing with these situations.
Yeah.
And I've never had or heard of any complaint or bad experience that any of our clients or our staff have ever had with your team.
Yeah,
so.
Thank you. No, and vice versa. It's truly a great relationship, and it gives my organization so much meaning and purpose and has attracted so many people who want to work at Meathead Movers because they know we offer these services. And it's really, really important to us. So thank you.
Yeah. And during the second half an hour, we'll get into some more discussion about the evolution of this process. So we've now made fun of you enough about picking the name.
Oh, that's okay.
It's your choice.
I've been called much worse.
I was seeing your vehicles in other parts of the state of California. It's like nobody doesn't notice you when you're there, I guess. And probably nobody forgets the name. And that becomes a factor also.
Yeah.
We're going to take a brief break for a little bit of time. We'll give the people a chance to stretch their legs. We'll be back and talk about this program a little more thoroughly and some of the things that Lumina Alliance actually provides in services. And we're also going to talk with Aaron a little more about what you may want to consider doing if you're involved in a business or an organization that's thinking about what can I do to help. What can I do? What can my company do to offer services similar to what Meathead Movers does or in other ways that people may need? We'll have that discussion after the break and remind you also you can start dialing your phone if you want to now at 805-781-3875. We would love to take your calls if you have some experience working with Lumina Alliance, working with Meathead Movers. And you want to just share with us some of the things that you've learned about the issues of domestic violence in your own life. Those are the kind of conversations we can have. This is Central Coast Voices. I'm your host, Fred Monroe, and I'll be back with you in a little bit and turn it over to Brad in the engineering studio.
Hey, this is Elsa Chang from NPR's All Things Considered. So I am coming to San Luis Obispo with NPR's Kelly McEvers. Kelly and I will be having a conversation about independent journalism, impactful storytelling, and just reporting in this current political climate. It's a special fundraising event for KCBX, and you are invited to join us. We're going to be at the Cuesta College CPAC on Sunday afternoon, November 9th at 2 p.m. Tickets are at kcbx.org. I really hope to see all of you there.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, Jorge and Paula Ramos, a conversation with journalists and father-daughter duo about why neutrality is failing journalists in the second Trump administration.
Neutrality doesn't work nowadays, especially when it comes to the way our immigrants, people like me, are being treated.
That's next time on Latino USA.
That's a look ahead on our Thursday here on KCBX. We've got Latino USA coming up following this program from 2 till 3. Then it's Fresh Air from 3 to 4 and Marketplace from 4 to 4:30. Right now, let's return to Fred Monroe and his guests with your phone calls on Central Coast Voices. And back to you, Fred.
Thank you, Brad. We are talking today about supporting efforts to create domestic violence safety zones, for lack of a better word, maybe a term that doesn't exist, but it comes to my mind as something that we needed to probably talk about. And that is ways of making sure that domestic violence is not an intrusion on your life. We talk a lot about this happening to other people and in other environments, but in the information that my guests have shared with me before the program, 1 in 3 women in our society will be victims of some form of domestic violence or abuse Sometimes that's psychological. One in four men will also face a similar situation too. I'm talking today with Jennifer Adams. She's the Chief Executive Officer for the Lumina Alliance. And Aaron Steed, who is the CEO and founder of Meathead Movers. Yes, the name indeed is what he's guilty of choosing, so we can't pass that off on somebody else. Jenny, one of the things that I mentioned briefly as we were coming back to the program was that one in three women have some, in their lifetime, some situation that involves domestic violence and or psychological abuse, and that it even applies to one in four men.
Yes, it's actually intimate partner violence, or sexual assault. And the reason, you know, we brought these organizations together and we deal with both those issues is because of the amount of crossover there is, because these issues involve most often people that we know. And so it's what makes it so complicated, because it's, you know, people within our families, people within our trusted circles. And that's one of the reasons it's difficult to talk about, too. But that's why domestic violence organizations, rape crisis centers, that's why we've been around since the 70s. And, you know, providing services like our 24-hour crisis line. So if anyone out there has been impacted and is looking for support, please call our 24-hour crisis and information line, which is 805-545-8888. We have advocates on hand that can talk to you about what our resources are, what we can do to support you. We provide individual and group therapy. We have, as I mentioned, two emergency shelters. We have three different complexes where we provide transitional housing, which is housing up to 12 months. And we have a really vital prevention program that works throughout the county as well to try to keep these things from happening in the first place. So, and we're a, you know, an organization that's been around a long time. We have about 60 employees and around a $6 million budget, which people are often really surprised by, that we are a, you know, medium-sized nonprofit in the community. But, you know, we took over 2,000 calls on our crisis line last year. We housed over 200 people. This is an issue that impacts oftentimes, I don't like it to say it as a challenge, but you'd be hard pressed to talk to somebody that doesn't either have one of these issues directly in their own lives or in someone close to them. It's just something that we don't talk about as much as we should.
I just did the reasonably simple math in my head. That means that on average, seven people a day are calling your crisis line. That doesn't mean it rings every second of the day, but seven calls of people who need services and don't know where to turn other than to you.
That's correct.
Is a significant amount.
Yep, that's correct.
One of the other things that you mentioned in some of the information you shared with me about your program is that even though a lot of people think that these are not domestic situations, that they're social situations for people who aren't your partners, or in some cases they're even sexual assault from a stranger. You basically said over 75% of the perpetrators of assault are known to the victim.
That's correct. So over 75% of sexual assault victims know the person that harmed them. So that's why it's complicated. And, you know, we tend to think of these issues as, you know, the back alley or, you know, the van in the parking lot. And the truth is, and this is especially true for women, is that we're most at risk with the people in our homes, with the people that we trust, that are in our inner circles.
Those are the people that we have our boundaries down for.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. Yeah. And there are people, right? So we trust, whether it's, you know, your roommate's cousin that's in visiting for the, you know, weekend, or, you know, mom's coworker that you met last week at the party and now is showing up at, you know, your house, a coach, you know, a high school coach. These are all situations that allow for you to trust them, and maybe, you know, the key is usually either isolating or getting into a relationship, and then isolating once you're in the relationship. So it makes it very difficult to reach out for help.
If they're people you know, the general presumption is everybody I know is a reasonably kind person. That necessarily is obviously not necessarily the situation, but I believe that maybe until it happens, that assumption may stick around for people.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's I always feel bad talking about this because it gives people a sense of, well, who can I trust? And you're telling me I can't trust people in my inner circle. What we need to do is just be aware, and what I will say for, and I've started off as a victim advocate. You know, I've been working in this field for 30 years. I was on the crisis line. What I will say is that I've never spoken to a victim that didn't somehow blame themselves and that didn't somehow have a sense that something wasn't right. Either, you know, early on in the relationship or early on in the evening, depending on what we're talking about. And so it's really encouraging people to follow those gut feelings, to take care of yourself, and to feel empowered to say, no, I don't feel comfortable. I want out of this. So it's complicated.
My hunch is that you get a number of people who call the crisis line after they thought about calling it 10 times because, as you're saying this, one of my first thoughts would be, gee, if I'm calling the crisis line because this is going on in my life, I have to admit that I got sucker punched into something I shouldn't have been involved in. There's a level of vulnerability that victim has that makes it, would make it especially difficult for them to make the first call.
That's correct. And it's why these things fester in the dark, right? Because we're, it's too difficult to say the words out loud. So we also live in a culture that holds victims responsible for what happened to them. They should have left the relationship. They shouldn't have been walking home by themselves. We try to do our best to really educate the community so that so that we can all be supporters of victims and that they can feel safe to tell not just somebody on the other end of the line at Lumina, but a close family member or friend, and that we can be there then to help support them in that healing journey.
Something popped in my head that may not be a factor, but it came up from a standpoint of my wondering about it. One of the things that may be a big risk for someone who calls you, especially because we all have mobile phones now, we all have iPhones and smartphones that do all kinds of stuff, is can you tell someone quickly how they turn the location tracker off their phone?
We absolutely have conversations about cybersecurity with victims, whether we're sometimes we're putting people in hotels or whether they're coming to our shelters or our offices, we absolutely are having those conversations with them. You know, I started in this back when I was, I was what we called a beeper volunteer back in the 90s on for the women's shelter. And, you know, nowadays people don't even know what that is. So, yeah, the technology has definitely changed. And now we have to deal with trackers that you can buy for your suitcase being put on people's cars. So it goes well beyond phones. There's a lot of opportunity for bad behavior there.
Prior to the program, when I was asking you some questions, you did mention to me that a good portion of the people who are involved and work for or as volunteers for your organization are former victims.
That's correct. So I actually am a survivor of childhood sexual abuse that had that phone number for the crisis line on my counter for about 2 weeks before I was able to make that call. So so I'm a perfect example that many of us that are involved in this work have experienced it. And when you hear a number 1 in 3, there's a large number of women who've experienced this, you know, domestic violence or sexual assault.
We'll talk about that some more in a little bit. I want to shift back over to Aaron and Meathead Movers, because I want to find out about the program that you've put together to kind of get more businesses involved in this. Pledge to Protect. I'm not sure if that's a name that Meathead Movers grabbed hold of, or that's some kind of program beyond your scope. But tell us about what you're doing and why it's important.
Sure. I just think that if any business owner or manager or leader got a little creative, and if this cause is important to them, and having worked with Lumina for well over 25 years now, I can attest that they are excellent stewards of resources. They are professional. They show up in a kind, smart, and compassionate way. They've been incredible partners, and we've done dozens of things together, vigil lighting, different events, talks, this, and as well as hundreds of moves over the year. There's a lot of where our organizations are integrated, I'd say. And it has been provided so much purpose and passion behind what we do. And it also genuinely helps out people in need in our community who need it most. You think about 1 in 3, 1 in 4, you know, people getting abused. And it's just staggering. And even if no one comes to your mind, I promise you that you know so many people, because it's such a dark thing. It's something that there's a lot of shame around it. So anyways, back to your original question, Fred. There, no matter what business you have, you can figure out a way to donate your product or service to create real meaningful value for the most vulnerable amongst us. And can you imagine picking up the phone, being willing to leave your home to live in transitional living when you're the one getting abused and you're the one that has to leave? I mean, this is the lowest of lows that our neighbors are going through. And there is not one good reason to be abused. It is barbaric. It's ridiculous. And I think we as a community need to stand up and say, you know what, no more. We shouldn't be abusing each other in the home. It's just not right. No matter what business you have, you can figure something out. So, for example, if you're a handyman, I guarantee you Lumina is paying money for handyman services at one of their 5 different locations that they have. If you're a painter, offer some free painting. I'm sure they need some painting. If you're a security service provider, I'm sure they're spending money on security services. And all it takes is setting up a phone call, setting up an appointment, and saying, this is who I am. This is my business. How can I be of value? How can I save money, or how can I help enhance the different assortment of services that you're providing, these life-saving services that you're providing the clients, your clients? And to link up your business with an organization like Lumina and to get your employees involved, it makes it more of a team effort. And it makes you, instead of just a handyman or a painter or a mover, it makes you someone who's part of the solution and literally helping save lives.
Are any other moving companies in other parts of the state taking this example of yours and moving forward with it?
You know, I'm really proud to share that there's 9 moving companies I'm aware of that have taken the pledge and are offering unlimited free moving services because of this. If you go to the website, movetondv.org, there are plenty of examples. And my favorite examples in Fort Worth, Texas, Veterans Moving America. The owner called me and said, "Aaron, it's great. I love it. I want to do it, but I can't afford to do it." And I'm like, "Okay, well, let's talk about it. Would you be willing to donate the truck and the gas if your movers were willing to donate their time?" "Maybe. Let me talk about it." So the owner of the company said, "Hey, would anyone once a month or once a week be willing to do this sort of move? And you donate your time, I'll donate the truck and gas." And they got 4 or 5 movers to do it. And now in Fort Worth, Texas, they're offering these life-saving moves.
That's awesome.
It's powerful. And I hope all moving companies in all areas do it. It's the gift we give to each community that we serve.
If you were unable to catch, and we can't write down email or websites fast enough, if you send an email to voices@kcbx.org, I can forward on any question you have to Meathead Movers. You can make it as oblique as you want. If you just want to, quote, talk to Meathead Movers about something to deal with this program, you don't have to answer any questions from our standpoint. We'll just forward the email, which gives you some safety, because my hunch is a lot of people who are involved in this situation, Jennifer, it might be a matter of, gee, I don't want to send an email to some guy from KCBX Public Radio who's going to forward it on to somebody else because I'm fearful for my life.
Yeah, I mean, and again, that's why we have our phone number. Our website has a quick exit on it so that it will take you out of it if you are in there looking at information. We also have chat services available during business hours. And so we try to provide lots of different opportunities for people to be able to contact us.
Yeah. You mentioned to me earlier before we were on the program that you have started I want to call it a recycling store, but the word thrift store it doesn't fit in my brain very well. But you have just opening up a thrift store for the benefit of Lumina Alliance.
So we are super excited for this new social enterprise, which is called Lumina Thrift. It's located at 545 Higuera Street, right there. We call it Thrift Store Alley. There's several of us right there on the bottom of South Street. And a thrift store has been a longtime dream of us at Lumina because we have so many donors that are calling and wanting to donate goods and furniture to us, and we have not had the space nor the capacity to be able to manage those, and we have a great need for them because we have victims that are oftentimes coming to us with nothing, or they're moving into their, when we can finally find them permanent housing, they need help getting those households established. Sometimes people come to us with just the clothes on their backs. So a thrift store is this beautiful symbiotic gift that allows the community to support by providing donations. The community can go back and also support by shopping there. And our clients can get what they need by utilizing items from the thrift store or things that are, you know, we're able to get from donors. So And then the final way that it supports us is the funding all goes back into programs. And during this time of, you know, challenging funding, we've been pretty dependent. We're about 40% of our funding comes from federal dollars. And so looking for ways to diversify our funding even more. And this is a great opportunity for us to do that. So we invite people to check us out. We're currently taking donations Monday through Friday, 10 to 2. The store, the grand opening will be on November 17th. We're having a little party, welcome party, that everyone is invited to from 3 to 5 on the 17th.
And if you happen to have something to donate that's too large to get there, you know a moving company.
I do. But yes, if you do have furniture, we do have a Lumina Thrift page on our website that talks about what we accept, what we don't, and if there's furniture items, we have a process for that. So thanks for reminding me of that.
This has been Central Coast Voices. I'm glad you've been with us today. This has been a topic in the category of wonderful resources available to our community for a topic that we should never have to talk about because it should not be happening. But as we mentioned earlier in the program, 1 in 3 women in their lifetime and 1 in 4 men in their lifetime will be victims of some type of abuse that's domestic or sexual. So it's not something that's a topic that we don't want to talk about because we want to make sure that there's resources available. As I do in the last couple of minutes of the program every week, I make sure that my guests have a chance to have the last word, especially about things that they may have thought about that we didn't ask them questions about. I'm going to start with Jennifer, and what do you want to make sure people don't forget and how they get support when they need it?
So just a reminder that if you or someone you know has been impacted by sexual assault or intimate partner violence, Lumina Alliance is the organization in the county throughout San Luis Obispo County that is available. Our services are confidential and free of charge. And I just want to highlight again our name, you know, Lumina Alliance, shining a light, providing a guiding light, and being an alliance in the community. It takes all of us. And the partnership with Meathead Movers is just a beautiful example. We're so grateful to Aaron and all your staff because they're all amazing. It's just it shows what can happen when you choose to take action. And whether it is, you know, whether our mission is what moves you or, you know, another mission, there are so many nonprofits that need support and that your services and your donations could help. And just really invite people to step up.
And what's the phone number that's most critical to call?
805-545-8888.
And what's the easiest way to find you on the internet if you did not catch any of this?
LuminaAlliance.org.
Okay. My hunch is, because I do usually test things like that, if you put the word Lumina in, Google and or its AI tools now these days will fill it for you very easily from that standpoint. Aaron, we haven't really talked about it as much as I'd like to talk about it, but I want to give you a couple of minutes and make sure that people understand the services that you offer through Lumina Alliance. And if you are a business or an entity, even if you're not local to us, because this program does get aired and reviewed by a lot of different areas of the state and the country, tell us about the pledge.
Yeah, look, we are so proud at Meathead Movers as part of our mission statement to offer survivors of domestic violence with a fresh start in life. And we're just a moving company. And no matter what business you have, you can turbocharge your purpose and your mission and your value and even your karma if you do something super meaningful and get everyone involved. Make this a company effort, a company pledge, a company movement to do something as meaningful as you possibly can with the product or service that you have. Ordinary people, ordinary services can do extraordinary things through a partnership and just starting with conversation. And we are so proud to have this great relationship with Lumina. They're the real deal professionals across the board. And we're just proud to be a very, very small part of what they do, because they do a lot.
Yeah. Tell us again, because we have the time. There's a couple of other moving companies, a number of other moving companies who have followed your example of making mm-hmm. this work.
Yeah.
And how has that panned out for them?
So I don't know, to be honest. They're on the register at movetondv.org. They're across the country. We've been quietly doing these services since the late 1990s. And then all of a sudden in the mid-2010s, it got really popular and a lot of people started hearing about it and got a lot of media attention. I think it inspired a lot of other businesses. There are over 225 pledges from businesses to the Pledge to Protect initiative, which is also looped into movetondv.org. And from there, you can look at, you know, all the creative ways that businesses are deciding to donate their products and services to help people in need. And it's really cool and it's really beautiful. And it's a lot easier to donate your product or service than it is to write a check.
Because you may not be able to write a check at the moment,
yeah.
but you may have some time on your hands.
Exactly.
And there are some crews on your hands.
Right. And even if you just want to provide employment opportunity to someone who's getting back on their feet, who's living in one of the transitional living centers, maybe they don't have a car. Maybe you can drive them to wherever the place of work is, give them some and then give them some work and some training. You know, this is a community issue and it is going to take a community effort, but it is the right thing to do.
Thank you. I think that's a wonderful place to leave the program. So I have a couple other announcements to do and then we'll get going here. This has been Central Coast Voices. Next week, your host will be Dr. Mario Espinoza Kulik, one of our rotational hosts. Usually he's not the one right after me, but because this is the fifth Thursday of the month, we're a little bit turned around. His guests are from the San Ynez Valley Chumash Museum and Cultural Center. They're discussing how the new center celebrates the Native history through storytelling, language revitalization, and cultural preservation of the Chumash traditions. That's going to be a wonderful program with Mario next week. Central Coast Voices is a production of KCBX Public Radio, and we are delighted to have them allow us to put this program on. You can reach us at voices@kcbx.org. Thanks to Brad Kyle in the studio, and thank you to my guests, Jennifer Adams and Aaron Steed. This has been Central Coast Voices. We'll be with you soon.